call.
Praise the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord. We know the joy of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Lord, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in joy, in peace, and in the Holy Ghost. So we thank you for the Holy Ghost, the great comforter. Truly, Lord, you have not left us comfortless. Truly, Lord, you have set up the comforter, and we are witnesses. So we thank you tonight, Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you for your word. Bible says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And the word was God, and the word was made flesh, and he dwelt among God. By this word of God were all things made, and nothing was made which was not made by the word. Bible says, thy word, O Lord, have thou exalted above all that your name is. Lord, because the name came by the word. His name, thou shalt call his name Jesus. The word declared that, for he shall save his people from their sins. So the name came by the word. Lord, we thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. All we need is the word of God. At one time, two of your friends and so forth, they are in Bethany, Lord, sat at the feet. One of them was so busy, occupied with all kind of things. Mary sat at the feet of the master and heard and take and sinking in every syllable, every word and letter the master can know, part of his beautiful lips. Lord, at the end of it, he said, you have chosen the better way, the word of the living God, which shall never be taken away from you. The same thing applies to whosoever in this age. We take God's word for what it is, the word of the Almighty God. You will never be disappointed in the mighty name of Jesus. And many scriptures show us the truth. The same Mary and Martha, never knowing in their darkest hour, Lord, their beloved brother has passed on. And we know, Lord, you must have been the first one they sent message to say, oh, your friend Lazarus has gone and so forth. And yet, Lord, you spent 3 or 4 days more, Lord. And when you got in there, these women did not complain. They didn't say, oh, but you know, we sent to you 4 days ago. But the Lord said, Lord, oh, Master, you know, if thou had been here, our brother has not died. But even now, they believe God. Even now, whatever you ask the Father, he will give it to you. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. See how the world works, miracles and so forth. All you need is the word of God. In the darkest hour, be right there. So we thank you. Teaching us the importance of the word. Lord, let us give the word in our lives the rightful place. Amen. We understood that even Lord, we were not saved by corruptible things like silver and gold. We are saved by the incorruptible word of God. Help us to daily give the word of God the place that it belongs, the first place in our lives. Seek ye for the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things that the nations of the world around you after shall be added unto you. Help us, tell the Lord, the hour is late. Thank you for loving us, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. We are continuing the book of Revelation by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I will make mention of it where all of God's word is important. This is the only book in the whole Bible that the Lord himself actually dictated. Amen?
And
he put it where all God's word is a blessing, right? And he put a special blessing. Blessed are those that read it and hear the word of this prophecy, not only hearing, but keep the sense thereof. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. So that's why this book is a special book, and that's the Holy Ghost just lead us. So we have the introductory part. We know the origin of it. He even gave us a hint when he was here after the resurrection and so on. He gave his scribe a hint that he will do an important work, you know, later on and so forth. You know, so we went through that. And in chapter 1, we saw the glorified Jesus, the coming Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. No, the form in which he will come, the glorified body. See? And we went through a lot of things in there, how it looks right now. People are still carrying the cross, all about the back. No. He is risen from the dead, amen. He is glorified, praise the Lord. And he has a glorified body. And we saw, even though when he was here and so forth today for our sins, we see the eye that won't wet. You know, people say the shortest verse in the Bible is John 11:35, and Jesus wept, right? Praise the Lord. And we saw those weeping eyes. When he now in the glorification, like the sun shining in his full strength, amen. Praise the Lord. That same Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How often Will I have gathered you unto myself like a hen gathered a chicken, and you will not. And now, next is the day of your visitation. Amen. And he went over there and praised the Lord. When he was glorified, look at that eyes and so forth. Now it's like a sun shining his foot and so forth, you know. Bible says his mouth was the two-edged sword, which means the word of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. They glorified Jesus. Even for John, who, you know, at the supper and so forth, fell upon his chest and so forth, you know, and they were asking, what did he say? No, when he was waiting for the dead, he fell at his feet as if dead. Amen? Yes. That is the coming Christ. Praise the Lord. So now let's jump into the chapter 2 now. We're now going to the seven church ages. Let's go to, first of all, Revelation 1:10, the seven churches and so forth. Revelation 1:10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That we explained the other day, right? That's not your Sunday. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's not your Sunday. No. It is the Lord's day. This Revelation book of God. Now, for the bride, no, the best of all times in the history of the world. Amen? Wow. The rapture of the church is in there in this book. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. But coming, the tribulation is coming. Divide the judgment and India and so forth. They are India. So the day of the Lord is even India and so on. So we know that. Anyway, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Now I'm going to name them now. Unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. So we see right now, what is he doing here? Now there are many churches in Asia in that time. You have the church in Colossians, we have the church in the Thessalonians, we have the church in Corinthians, but even pick any of those things, he will be the Almighty that called the end from the beginning. Amen? He knows the path the church will take. And he knows, and he chose seven churches whose behavior and reaction to the word of God will characterize the ages to come in the church. Amen?
Amen.
And he has marked seven ages that the church will go through. So he picked seven churches in Asia that will characterize what the church will look like in those ages. So he named them here. And that's so tonight, by the grace of God, I'm going to read the first one. It will be the word of the Lord, and we are going to see historical background. Can you see how history itself portrays the revelation of the word of God, fulfillment of God's word, amen? The location and so forth of these places and so on, we talk about them tonight and so on, in the first church, Ephesus and so on, you know. So now, so each chose the seven of them that will characterize the church history. Now, the following are the periods. Let me just lay ahead the periods in the history of the world when these ages, people have looked back, like the Great Pyramid, right? There were dates in there, but people never ever know what the dates mean until the date has passed. Amen. They now look back and see, oh, that is what that date in the pyramid meant. Amen. So also here tonight, you know, so people have looked back into history and see, you know, they are not all consistent in the way people mark the demarcation of the ages, but they are very, very close enough. Amen. Praise the Lord. So now let's see now. So that we this where in the history this church ages are really are. So now, so the following are the periods in church history to which these messages to the seven churches successively appertain. One, Ephesus, and it's called the first church age, and it began around AD 53. It was established by Paul at Ephesus during his missionary journey, and he was the pastor for many years, I believe it is. Now, later on we talk about in the introduction, St. John the Divine. We know that he was also a pastor. After leaving the Isle of Patmos, after the persecution and so on, they released him. He went back to pastor that church, and that is what he did before he passed on. So, John the Divine, who is described for the book of Revelation. So, we saw that one in India, you know. So, so Brother Paul was, we'll see more about it in Acts 19 as we go on, the foundation of the Church of Ephesus, you know, and so on. So, that church ran from AD 53 approximately to about AD 170. You know, in our timing and dating system. Number two, called the Smyrna Church. It's called the Church of the Persecution. And you will see in the series why it is called the Church of the Persecution. You know, that ran from about AD 170 It's about AD 312. See? Then come the Pergamos church age. The church of the imperial favor began about 312 and lasted till about AD 606. Then come the fourth one, the Thyatira church age, church of the papacy, and that began about 606 and went through 1520. See, that is the dark ages. When you hear papacy, talk about darkness. Amen? Amen. Rome is darkness and so on. Praise the Lord. Amen. In the era of that church, it was dark ages for the church. We're going to see it in the series. Then comes Sardis, church age. The church of the Reformation began about 1520 and lasted about 1750. The Lutheran church age, they call it. Then called the Philadelphia church. The church of the Latter Day Outpouring. Oh, that's the only church that the Lord has no fault with. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's a type of the eighth church, really. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we see that one. No fault was found in it. It's a type of the eighth church and so forth. The Rapture Church. That began about 1750 and lasted till 1906. The Wesleyan Age. So we see that. Then the last one, the Laodicea Church Age. That they say began the Lukewarm Church. Revelation 3:20. Get to it later in the series. Now the Lukewarm Church began about around 1906 and so forth. And we don't know when it ends. And we don't know that one. But the thing is, maybe it has even ended. And that puts us into a transition time. Amen? Transition meaning that the gospel, the Gentile church age is finished. Can you now see when we say we are at the end of the age? That means the Gentile era is finished. See? The Bible says Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. We just marked the 50th anniversary of the taking back of Jerusalem by the Jews, right? So time is running out, brethren. You see, so we see that one in India. It means something. You know, so we know that. So since 1967, June, they go back to Jerusalem and so forth. That is very, very significant, and it's not going there. Even Moshe Dayan said that this they will never let go of that city again. Even the army of Israel said they will never let it go again. Praise the Lord. And that is the word of the Lord, you know. They will never be in captivity again. Never ever. Anyway, let's go into the book now. So we see Revelation 2. Now we just get, you know, introduced to the seven of them, and we are in history. They fall into, we are the last one now. I think it has even run out. Because we don't always know. We are in the transition time now. So Revelation 2, we're going to the first church age tonight, which is the church of Ephesus. Revelation 2:1. And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, this sincere is that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Amen. And hast patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou hast fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick from out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which also I hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
By the way, the tree of life is mentioned 6 times in the Bible. 3 in the book of Genesis and 3 times in the book of Revelation. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The Alpha and the Omega. Praise God. See? Now, we know that the church of Ephesus refers prophetically. Now, we analyze it now by the grace of God. Now, applies to the apostolic period when the apostles were still here. Like we said, Brother John at 96 to 96 AD was the pastor and so for the last pastor that we know before he passed on to be with the Lord. So, this falls to the apostolic age. And let us get some facts together to show that Ephesus was the apostolic age, actually. So there are many Bible things to it. So there are at least some things here. So the apostolic church was yet in existence because Brother John the Apostle was still there after he left that Isle of Patmos, continued pastoring it. So it's the apostolic age, really. So we know that one. Verse 2 said that, where we read now, Patmos said that, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Now, what does that mean to us? The term apostle here, indicates the apostolic period. Amen? The time of the apostle, that's what it means. So we know that age belongs to the age of the apostolic era. And of course, the question of apostleship will naturally come up only during the apostolic period. And we know that before in AD 996 AD, the apostolic age, which is Holy Ghost ministry and manifestation of the Spirit, was fast fading away. They were closing out, really. They were just going down and so forth. And that's why the church was losing its first love. You know that. Indication of the imminent termination of the apostolic period is portended in the words of the Lord, the warning that the Lord gave. The Lord threatened them, amen. I will remove your candlestick, praise the Lord, unless you repent. So that means, so the Lord said, unless you repent and do the first work, or else I will come, unto thee quickly and remove the candlestick out of his place, except you repent. Another point about to show that this church belongs to the apostolic age, the church at Ephesus is the only church we know of in record that was founded by an apostle. Praise the Lord. And let's go find where it was founded. It began by 12 disciples, amen. Praise the Lord. Acts 19, verse 1. Here is the foundation where the church was found. So at Acts 19:1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Here we go. And find certain disciples. I won't go through what happened in there, but you will know, you can see the foundation of that church is sound, amen? And the first thing he asked them was that, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And he said, we have not even asked her if there be any Holy Ghost. Unto them, unto what then were you baptized? Oh, they say, well, we had the baptism of John. People say, why we should not be baptized? If you are baptized wrongly before, or one is baptized, they have to be baptized correctly, amen? Praise the Lord. So, Brother Paul baptized them because they were wrong. Praise the Lord. That's in Acts 19. So, Bible says then he baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know where, except from Catholicism, and that you are able to see and so that three names come forth and so on, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost and so forth, never seen the apostolic age. Praise the Lord. So, we see that one. So, you see, so, and that's how the foundation of the Bible said that he laid his hand upon them, this 12, and all of them received the Holy Ghost and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Amen? Amen. Can you see the foundation of that church? Very, very sound foundation, as we see on. Now, so Paul decided 3 years, according to the scripture here, and teaching and pastoring and so on, what we call this mother church of the Asia Minor. They call it that one. If you don't know, Mother Church of the Asia Minor. Now, let's talk about the historical background of the city of Ephesus. Let's talk about it a little bit here tonight. Now, the city of Ephesus in history, and I catalog all kind of things here, it was the greatest commercial center of St. Paul's day, this city. Now, this city was sitting at the mouth, what they call the Kestra River. Kestra River flowed into the Mediterranean Sea, and so forth, And this city was originally sitting at that place. What does that mean? There were not big roads in those days. So rivers were a means of great transportation. See? So that city, Ephesus, sitting, at the mouth of the Kestra. This river called, we're talking about the Turkey area. This area is in our modern language, Turkey area. Amen? Praise the Lord. That city is today and so on, So anyway, not only that, three major roads cross into that city, they conjunct at Ephesus. Oh, that means it's a great commercial city. Praise the Lord. So you see why? So you see how the Lord does things? In the Lord's ministry, Capernaum was in the same kind of situation. because the Lord wanted the gospel to go out to many people in it. So therefore, he established them in this commercial trade routes, like Capernaum and so forth. Praise the Lord. Ephesus was in the same kind of a city. You have three major, you know, roads coming from the Arabian area, from the Asia and so forth. Conjunction in India, God's plan was that many can hear the gospel. That was the thing. So now, the important roads, three important roads converge on it, bringing the trade of the East and Asia Minor to its market. It was in truth, they call it the Vanity Fair of the ancient world. That's how popular it was. The Vanity Fair of the ancient world, Ephesus. Ephesus was also an outstanding political importance. And you can even see the way in Acts 19 tell you a lot of story, how they have government and so forth. You know, in Acts 19 shows that it has considerable measure of several governments. When there was an uproar coming from the preacher of Brother Paul and so forth, they have a city council and all these things that put they put law and order and so forth into place. So they had a kind of thing there, you know, in Ephesus. It was a capital of a Roman province, and governors dispensed their justice there in Ephesus. The Pan-Ionian Games were even held there in Ephesus. I don't know if you know about Pan-Ionian Games, like a kind of Olympic kind of thing. All in all, life in the ancient world was at its greatest in Ephesus. And the Lord knows why he let the apostle go that way, because he wants many, many people to hear the gospel. Praise the Lord. That is why, you know. Now, Ephesus was the site of the Temple of Diana. See? Temple of Diana, where in the world they call it the Temple of Artemis. You know, but I will say with the Bible word in it. Praise the Lord. So you can see it in the Bible, you children in the school, you can see I say it's called the Temple of Artemis, Artemis. But I say with the Bible word, the Temple of Diana. See? And one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Amen? Can you imagine? Now, I can name some of the seven wonders of the ancient world. The Great Pyramid is the number one. All people agree to that. Amen? The Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the ancient wonders of the seven worlds. And now, can you imagine how great this temple was, this hidden temple, lining it up in line with the Great Pyramid? Can you see how great it is? Praise the Lord. Not to the glory of God, it's an idol temple. See? Now, so let's see here. So, now in Acts 19 to 28, so it talks, you know, where he mentioned that temple in the Bible here. So we say with the Bible name for that. In Acts 19, you know, the opera, and 28. And when they had heard these things, they were full of wrath and cried, you know, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in trouble, they rushed with great accord into the theater. Just establishes to us that this thing was in the Bible and so forth. This temple, let's talk about that temple. This temple was the pride of the Ephesians. It was a pride. Can you imagine? One of the seven wonders of the ancient world. So they were so proud of it and so forth. Now, here's the dimension. It was 425 feet long, 220 feet wide, and 60 feet high. It had 127 pillars, and each of those pillars were made of of marble. They were marble, and they were contributed by different kings in different places. 127 pillars of marble, you know, and they were each donated by different kings across the world and so forth, across that part of the world. In the inner shrine stood the great altar, and the rear of which draped huge velvet curtains. Guess what is behind that curtain? The image of Diana. See? With the Ephesians claim fair from Jupiter. That's in Acts 19:35. Let's go there. So can you see, you know, superstition and so forth? You know, in fact, at one time, he said, "Why is this? People are asking, Greeks, why are you so superstitious? Amen." I walk around your cities, I see this institution of the unknown God. This same God you cannot know is He who I'm preaching unto you, amen? That's people of Athens, you know, but that's a digression. Anyway, in Acts 19:35, and when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshipper of the great goddess Diana? and of the image which fell down from Jupiter. See, superstition and so forth like that, you know. So they think so. Now, the worship in the temple was weird and hysterical. Even if you recorded it, worshippers worked themselves up into a frenzy, and shameless and immoral practices were regularly practiced in its dark and evil chamber. This is Israel, that's not. The temple possessed the right of asylum, all things about evil. So back then, if you're a criminal and by chance you can just get to that temple, you are free from the law. Nobody can do anything to you. So what happened? The same Ephesus became a hamlet of criminals. Once you can just get there, that's it, you know, into that temple, that's it, you know. You are free from the law, whatever. If you committed murder, whatever it is, this is all in Israel and so forth. So all everything that represents evil is in that temple, you know, and so forth, that, you know. No wonder the Lord said the gospel there, amen. Praise the Lord. Perversion, and yes, God had his own people, one of the strongest churches, as you're going to see down the road and so forth. So we see that one here. The temple, so like we said, now, let's see the state of the city of Ephesus today. We are walking through history now, you know. We see how it began, the church and so forth. Brother Paul just passing there, saw 12 disciples and so forth. So now, we're walking through history. Now, the state of the city of Ephesus today. The Lord has warned them, remember in 2:5 Revelation, that the church should repent, right? And do the first works. Or else, I will come unto you quickly, the Lord said, and will remove the candlestick out of his place, except to repent. So today, Ephesus is in utter ruin. Remember, the Lord said, woe unto you, Chorazin. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bethsaida, woe unto you, Bethsaida. And so forth, you know. None of those cities remain today. Praise the Lord. So the same Jesus now, after the resurrection and so on, you know, so you are except you repent and so on, you know, begin to cause, you know, tell them what will happen to them and so forth. So we see. So the temple of Diana now, the whole place is in ruin. The temple of Diana that once was one of the seven wonders of the world can hardly be identified today whatsoever. It's in desolation. Praise God. Do you know that not only the temple of Diana, of all those seven wonders of the ancient world, only one of them is standing today, the great pyramid of Egypt, amen? Why? Because the divine hand of God is in it, amen? Praise the Lord. Even the prophet Isaiah, 19:19 of Isaiah, spoke of the pyramid and said, there will be a pillar, and so at the border of Egypt, and in the midst of it, amen? It shall be an altar unto the Lord God of hosts, amen? Praise the Lord. To tomorrow, that's a mystery as to how the great pyramid was built, amen? Someday we go into these things again, and we know, brethren, know this thing, but we go in there and see the marvel of the Lord, amen? Praise the Lord. So only the great pyramid is standing. So this temple of Diana, I see, is now in ruins and everything. So we see that one in India. So, and the city itself, you know, so was plundered, you know, over and over by different kind of devastation and so forth. And later on, the last of it was accomplished by the Turks, the Turkish people. And then the Mongols, they call them, the Mongols, a kind of ethnic group in Asia, partly in China itself, and they're all over the Asia and so forth, but mostly in China also. So they came to see the last of that city and so on, around the 14th century. Now, the ruin of Ephesus consists of shattered walls today, and remains of columns and temples, as we saw before. Among the ruin, there's nothing to identify the church that existed in the John day. What do we learn from this? Ephesus today is a striking picture of what happens to those who have left their first love. Amen? Traditionally talking, praise the Lord. Amen. We must be alive. We must be serving the Lord with gladness. You know, the Lord did this as an example for the believer. Amen? He that cried out with me is scattered. Amen? Praise the Lord. We must remain. Yes, we must remain in the, and serving the Lord with all of our heart and so on. Never to lose our first love, no matter what happens on this planet. Amen? Bible says in the book of Acts, we should cleave to the Lord, amen? All the time with the old heart. Now, the church at Ephesus in Paul's day, let's take a look and so on. I put some points here. The members of the church at Ephesus were believers who have been baptized in water, like I said in Acts 19. They also received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with speaking in tongues, and they prophesied. And I want to read Acts 19, 5 and 6. when they heard it, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Can you see now? As I'm going to show in this, it is the strongest church of the seven, and so for that, no, and the greatest mystery were revealed in there, because why? The foundation was strong. It built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Amen. Anyway, and when Paul had laid hand on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So we are looking at the church in Paul's day. Number two, it was a church where outstanding miracles of healing occurred. Let's pick some of them. This church of Ephesus in the apostles' day. In Acts 19, most of this in Acts 19, see outstanding miracles occurred in there, 19:11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Why Brother Paul was saying Ephesus and so forth, these things that were happening in that church. Number three thing that we want to say, it was a holy church in the beginning, one that stood against Goddess Diana, like we said before, and the evils of that day. That's how the church should start today. Stand today against all the evils of this world. Amen. By the power of the Holy Ghost. So, an example of his standard may be seen in the burning of books. Of curious, today Christians are afraid of witches. They are afraid of this kind of thing. Look, in the early church, see what they did. Those who practice curious art, they gather all their idols together and burn them. Let's go to Acts 19. This is the real Holy Ghost filled church. That's how the church should be today. In Acts 19:19, many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Amen. Amen. You should not be chicken hearted as a Christian. Amen. Greater is he that is in you. Amen. Than he that is in the world. Who is in the world? The devil and so forth. See? But the Lord Jesus is in you. Praise the Lord. Amen. God hasn't given the church the spirit of bondage to fear again, but the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Amen. When you are fearful, you don't have a sound mind, brethren. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bible says, and fear has torment. I don't want to be tormented. Amen. The only good fear is the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. Praise the Lord. And you will eschew evil when you have the right kind of fear, the fear of the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we see that. So let's see one more thing about the church that time and so on. So it was a church that was persecuted, of course, for its single-mindedness and devotion to Christ. All that will live a godly life in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen.
Amen.
Nobody is, if you are living for Christ, they talk about you. They will do all kind of things to you. But do you take it personally? No. Amen. Is a servant above his master? If they persecute you, they did it to me first. Amen. So he is our example. Praise the Lord. So let us take from him example and so forth. So they persecuted them, and it was a church. Where the old gospel was preached. So that's the liberty we have here. By the grace of God, and there are many other people of God across the world where you can freely speak about any biblical doctrines, amen? But it is not so in all the so-called physical churches. Praise the Lord. Let's see how it was in the church in the days of Paul in Acts 20. In his farewell to the headers of the Ephesian church, see what he told them in Acts 20:20. And how I care back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you, I have taught you publicly and from house to house. They have churches in their houses in the Bible days, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. They went from house to house breaking bread. They even have churches and so forth in there. Aquila and Priscilla, amen? Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many of them in there, and Greece, Aquila and Priscilla and the church in their house, amen? So, see, early church and so forth, So, we see that one. So, he did not withhold anything from them. He preached publicly and privately from house to house, to them and so forth. So, they have a very, very good founding, as we see here. So, now, 6 points. It was a church which was warned of apostasy against the day when grievous wolves will enter and pervert the gospel. Again, I'm saying Acts 20. They were even forewarned. And in Acts 20:29, for I know this. After the departure of the apostle wrote, shall grievous wolves enter in among you. And it happens today again. You see a man of God, maybe at the pastor in the church for a long time, as soon as he leaves, there are people who are after their own gain. They just take over the thing and so on. Unless the people are really watching and praying. Praise the Lord. So we see it happened today and so on. So it happened in the fourth day. So, and you're going to see how it happened right now. So, and then, so 29, you know, you see, and not tearing the flock. What did we note? It was a church to whom Paul wrote his most profound epistle, the letter to the Ephesians, you know, the most profound. And let's take a look at some of these profound things. In that epistle, was unfolded the deepest mysteries of God to the church. You see their foundation? For the Holy Ghost foundation, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That shows you the very, very importance of the Holy Ghost. You know, see? That's why they were able to stand and they were able to endure sound doctrine, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. You can endure sound doctrine. Without the Holy Ghost, no man can endure sound doctrine, really, you know? Because He is the revealer of the world. The Lord told us, when He is come, the Spirit of truth, He will take that which is mine and reveal it to you, amen? He will show you all things. He will put you in remembrance of all the things which I have taught you, amen? The Holy Ghost is to do all those things. Praise the Lord. That is the importance of the Holy Ghost in the life of a believer. Ephesians 1, some of those deep mysteries. See, this church, you know, was taught the greatest. You couldn't tell the Corinthians this kind of thing. They were carnal church, amen? Praise the Lord. So you couldn't tell them this kind of thing, you know? But you could tell the Ephesians, you know? So this Ephesians 1, 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has proposed in himself. See that one? Having made known to us the mystery of his will, deep things from the Lord to this church, in that, you know, in that church and so on, that the Lord, in this epistle, Ephesians 3, verse 4, second passage, the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, you see, it is in this church that the Lord revealed some mysteries that the hidden in the foundation of the world. It is that was written and revealed, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his body, unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So you could, in Ephesians 5, you can see all those things by the Christ and his church, and all the kind of things that were written there. So all in all, the church at Ephesus, before it lost its first love, was the kind of church we must have at the return of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. If it is to come up, this church to come up to the apostolic pattern, that is the foundation, you know. So prophetically, the church at Ephesus characterized the apostolic church as it existed in those days, AD 96 and so forth. Now, see, the Lord gave them some commendation. See, He commended them. And they also rebuked them too and gave warning. It was a warning and commendation. The Lord commended them, this church and so forth. Because why? They labored, read them before, they labored for the name of the Lord and had not fainted, no matter what happened. They had patience. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Amen. In your patience, possess your souls. Amen. This church had it. Praise the Lord. Have patience. Could not bear them which are evil. Today, even they know that in the church, so-called church and so forth, they know all kind of evil going on. They are having respect of persons. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They can't even voice it out. They are oppressed and so forth. Are you serving that man of God? You see what I'm saying? This church could not forbear any of it. The Bible says, we don't even get them any kind of, not even for 1 hour, amen? Praise the Lord. Expose the appearances of evil and so forth. Don't pet it, just expose it and so forth. This church did all those things and so forth. They tried those who said they were apostles and found out to be liars. They tried them. Try every spirit, amen? People aren't doing that anymore. And see, they are of God. You know? Who is doing those things anymore? Where are you trying? You see? They just receive anything. Check, you know, compare things with the scripture and see if these things are true. So, Ephesians church, we couldn't fool them, amen? Praise the Lord. Why? Because of the massive acting power of the Holy Ghost. Then, down the road, a fatal flaw developed among them, you know, which in time would have a deadly effect. A fault that was not immediately perceived by the church itself. Let's see that fault in Revelation 2:4. You know, what was the fault that happened? God began to reject them. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. That is the greatest, that is a terrible thing, and so forth, you know. And God will give them a chance to repent. Remember therefore from whence thou hast fallen, and repent. I always love the Lord. See, when somebody makes a mistake or be an error, see the Lord, even Israel in all our days, no matter what they have done, see what I'm saying? Captivity and so on, when they cry from there, the Lord will hear them, amen, and bring them back to their land again. That he didn't come to destroy, say, I come not to destroy life, amen, I come to save life, praise the Lord. So you see the same God, but the time is coming when the door of grace will close, amen, like it closed in the days of Noah, like it closed in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, amen, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. That door is fast closing now, praise the Lord. Rejoice in your calling and in the grace wherein you stand, praise the Lord Jesus. So now, so then, this last warning to the church of Ephesus should give us all a pause for reflection. Have we lost our first love for the Lord? The Bible says we should also examine ourselves. Amen. Amen. So the Christian, examine yourself. We build the faith. This is a constant going thing. Praise God. We just carry on and carry on and carry on. Examine ourselves in the light of the word. James told us, examine yourself in the mirror and the glass of the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this is how you keep your stand in the Lord, you know. So it's your father and my father. So we see that one. So now, Christ is our bridegroom. He can accept nothing less than full devotion and love of the bride. Amen. In fact, if any man love father or mother or child more than me, he's not worthy of me. Amen. That was he told us. Amen. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? With all thy strength. With all thy power, amen. That has never changed. Praise the Lord. So that's the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing must come before him. Amen. See? He must be first class in our life and so forth. So that is what's terrible thing. So there's no place in the church, the true church, for nominal Christians. You know, and the world is full of them today, amen. Nominal Christians. We should not be part of those kind of people, amen. We must give up, or he gave us, or we must give him all, amen. What do you have that you have not, first of all, received of the Lord? Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. So, you see, now, as we finish up here tonight, an important commendation from the Lord. See, here the commendation now, and it's good for us today. These things begin in the days of Paul, which you have read before, in Acts 20. This thing, the Holy Ghost brings it out in Acts 20, really. I want to read it again, which I read before, and Paul begins to warn by the Holy Ghost. And the Lord himself will bring it out in the book of Revelation in a way, which I read before in Acts 20:29. For I know that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, the Bible says, and remember that by the space of three years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears, he said. Now, let's go to that thing in Revelation 2:6. You know, a great commendation. Something was happening, began to happen right there in the church. And this church withstood it. Amen? It was in verse 6 of Revelation 2. But this thou hast, O Ephesians, and the church of God today, who are standing for Christ, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's break, as we finish now in another 5 minutes, let's break it down. What is that? What was the deed of the Nicolaitans? Now, this thing began as a deed in the Ephesian church. As it goes through the church ages, it became a doctrine. Amen? Mm-hmm. So it became a doctrine in the Pergamos church. But this is the root of it. It began as a deed, an action. It began. See? But they discerned it. Amen? And so they gave it and so forth now. So, what we are saying here, the wolves that Paul prophesied about and warned them about, these are the deeds of the Nicolaitans in the book of Revelation, amen? Praise the Lord. Nicolaitans is a compound word, right? You can break it into two. Nico, that means to conquer or overthrow, amen? Latent, meaning the laity of the church. Amen? So to conquer the church. Something begins in that church age that wants to conquer the church and overthrow it. So Laconetans means to conquer the church. The meaning is they started a doctrine to replace the ministerial gifts that the living God set up in the church with some priests, bishops, and popes. Amen? They are now putting men over the church. The Bible says to the true shepherd of the sheep, the shepherd, the Holy Ghost made them to be overseers, right? Now, they are now putting men are taking over the church in the name of bishop and priest and pope and so forth. So let's see now, in 1 Corinthians 12, God himself is the one who set up the ministerial gift. Now they are replacing those with men, with popes and with bishops and priests. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And God, who did it? And God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, health, governments, diversity of tongues. So these are the way God himself set the church up. Amen? He set this ministerial gifts up and so forth. But in this church now, towards this now, the Ephesian church, they discern an infiltration of evil. And they hated it, amen, that church age. So, as we finish here now, the church of Ephesus in John today did not heed the Lord's warning to return to his first love, though, but they hated the Laconetan spirit that's what happened. Now, what happened to that church age as I finish here is that because I don't think they ever returned to that first love. And what happened really, their apostolic power began to wade away and fade away really quickly. And what happened to that one? There arose a terrible persecution. Get from here. Get from where? From pagan Rome. Amen? Praise the Lord. There arose a great persecution from pagan Rome and which was to continue for another 200 years. That 200 years is the Smyrna Age, the Church of the Persecution, from where we start next time. Amen? Praise the Lord. See, they did not hear the Lord's love as to reject their first love, but they did some things right. They discerned the view of the Nicolaitans, and they hated it, but they never returned to their first love. And the Lord allowed a great persecution from pagans to take over and so forth. It was good for them, purging and so forth, And then, for over 200 years, which takes us to the next age, the Smyrna Age, which they call the Church of the Persecution. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful are your words, O Lord, and your works. We thank you tonight that we are able to see that and speak freely, Lord, by thy Spirit, Lord, of the things which have been and the things which are yet to be, even very shortly. So we thank you tonight, Lord, for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us understanding of all these things, Lord, so that we may make ourselves ready and not fall into the same error in which they fall into, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Help us to keep our first love always, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you again tonight for blessing us. Lord, as we go tonight and go back to our places, think of on these things, Lord, in the name of the Lord. They are to shape the church, put us in proper shape for the coming of the Lord. And wherever we go, that, Bible says we are the light of the world. You make us to be so. We are the salt of the earth. You make us to be so. Help us to never lose our savor, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever we go, help us to let that light shine, that men may see it, Lord. And glorify not us, Lord, but our Father who is in heaven. This thing we ask tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for your patient brethren. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So let's take some time.